Welcome into the New Orleans Saints podcast, presented by SeatGeek. You'll hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and writers that cover the NFL on a daily basis. The New Orleans Saints podcast starts right now. Here's your host, Aaron Summers.
Welcome to the New Orleans Saints podcast. It has been a busy week around the NFL with owners' meetings in Phoenix Monday and Tuesday, newly signed players, and LSU's Pro Day on Wednesday. Jordy Kulata of the Jordy Kulata Show will join me in a bit to talk about the LSU prospects, as well as Saints needs heading into the draft. At the owners' meetings, head coach Dennis Allen said he's been pleased with the Saints' offseason moves.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I think we've handled a lot of the musts. There's still a lot of there's definitely a lot of wants. There's always wants in terms of coaching perspective. Probably a couple of needs that we need to try to make sure we fill a couple of spots. But again, I like where we're at.
One of the recent signings for the Saints was wide receiver Bryan Edwards. Edwards was a third-round pick by the Raiders in 2020. He played collegiate ball at South Carolina, so he's an SEC guy. In 35 regular season games, he has had 48 receptions for 779 yards and 4 touchdowns. Edwards spent part of last season with the Falcons and Kansas City Chiefs. I caught up with him as he was in the building Monday signing his contract. Bryan, thank you so much for joining me on the New Orleans Saints podcast. I appreciate it. Welcome to New Orleans and welcome to the Saints.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I know you had a couple different options, went a couple different places before deciding to sign here. What made you want to be a part of this team?
Honestly, just the opportunity. I felt like this was a great opportunity for me to kind of, you know, earn a spot on the roster. And, you know, obviously I played with Derek Carr, so, you know, a familiar face and in the right position. So I'm excited.
There's a couple players here now that played with Derek. I know Jonathan Abram just joined the team. He was somebody that played with you guys as well. What is your chemistry like with Derek Carr? Are you looking forward to being back with him?
I'm definitely looking forward to being back with him. You know, he's a great player and a great leader and a great competitor. So, you know, I feel like all those things are, you know, what kind of drove me to come here. And then also Jonathan Abram, a guy that I had built a great relationship with in Vegas. So, you know, just having familiar faces, I feel like will, you know, definitely make the transition easier for me.
Are there any other players on the Saints team that you know already or people that you're excited to meet?
Honestly, man, I'm just kind of excited to just, you know, build a relationship with everyone. I don't want to, you know, say any names in particular, but, you know, just kind of building camaraderie with everyone will, yeah, I feel like do me well.
What do you think that you're going to bring to the wide receiver room?
You know, hopefully I can just bring whatever they need. You know, I know obviously, you know, they have guys like Olave and Thomas and Rashid and, you know, guys that have made plays. So, you know, just kind of whatever that they feel like they're missing, hopefully I can fill.
You were able to spend some time with the Chiefs at the end of the season, be a part of a Super Bowl run. How much has that fueled you to kind of what you want to achieve?
Man, you know, just getting to be a part of that was really special. And just getting to be a part of, you know, how they ran things and how they went about their business, I feel like it had a huge impact on me and how I see the game. And I definitely want to, you know, contribute to that and play a big role in the team winning this championship.
Your entry to the NFL is kind of a little weird, you know, going through the COVID being the first season, getting injured early on in your career. How have you grown from that?
You know, it was tough. It was very tough for me. Yeah, but, you know, adversity introduces a man to himself. And I feel like, you know, it made me stronger and it made me a better person and a better player. So I'm thankful for those experiences.
What are three things that Saints fans need to know about you?
Three things that Saints fans need to know about me. I'm hardworking. You know, I put a lot into this game and I care about it. And we're going to have some fun, man. We're going to have some fun here in New Orleans.
It's really fun. It's a fun town, fun fan base. The Superdome is an amazing game day experience. Have you ever played in the Dome?
So I never played in the Dome. Nope, never played in the Dome.
Well, you're in for it. When the first game is going to be an experience for you. You know you're in SEC country.
Yep.
Even though you went to South Carolina, it's really heavy on the LSU down here.
Right.
How are you going to navigate that?
Oh, man. Obviously, you know, I'm I'm South Carolina, you know, through and through. But, you know, I honestly never got to experience a game day, LSU game day. So I wouldn't mind, you know, if we get a chance to
going out to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and checking it out. Because, you know, Death Valley, it can get rocking, man. So I wouldn't mind checking it out just to experience it, honestly.
Yeah. I've never been up there either. And I keep saying, definitely got to make it happen. What is your favorite sport outside of football?
My favorite sport outside of football is definitely basketball.
Okay.
Definitely basketball. I mean, I would love to get a chance to go and see Zion, another South Carolina guy.
Mm-hmm. Cam Jordan has season tickets, so you got to hit him up.
Okay.
To go to a game with him, or I'm sure they can help you out. Like, obviously, we're all in the same building here.
Right.
Got a couple more games left in the season. Hopefully, they kind of extend their playoff run. Yeah. Did you have an NBA team?
I do not have an NBA team, so it looks like.
Okay, so you're up for grabs.
Yeah, I'm definitely up for grabs.
Right, okay. Now. Well, we'll have to bring you over to the Pelican side sometime as well. Outside of football, basketball, did you play any other sports growing up?
Outside of football, football and basketball are pretty much my main two.
Yeah. What do you like to do in your spare time?
Oh, well, I'm trying to pick up the golf club, man. It's a tough kind of like that first learning curve is really tough, but mm-hmm. trying to pick up the golf club. Obviously, I spend a lot of time with my kids and my family and play a little bit of video games, honestly, a little bit of a game freak, game nerd. So
there's a couple of those around here.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. What are you looking forward to doing this off season? Did you get a chance to get away or do anything fun?
Oh, man. So we're currently transitioning, like trying to get into a new house. So that's been taking up a lot of our time. Hopefully, you know, in that gap in the summer, we can actually like do something as far as vacation and things like that. And I recently got engaged, so
there you go. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So it's been a busy off season.
Yeah. Do you know when you're going to get married? Do you have any plans set
man.
Yet?
We don't have anything that's set in stone yet, but we want to do it soon. So it just kind of depends on how things shake out, you know, here and how things, you know, go as far as rosters and all, you know, all that good stuff.
Are you opinionated on what the wedding's going to look like, the theme, colors?
Not really, honestly. I feel like, you know, I just want to be able to show up. Hopefully, you know, you only get married once. So I wanted to, you know, do it big, you know, do it like how you dream of doing it. But I don't really want to have too much to do with the planning of it.
Yeah.
Just let me show up, please.
Yeah, just say yes.
Exactly.
Just whatever she wants. Make her happy.
Exactly.
You mentioned that you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
How many?
Two.
How old are they?
So I have a 6 month and 3. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on.
Busy
right
age.
Right,
yeah, you got a lot going on.
Yeah.
And now you got to move to New Orleans.
Yeah, got to pack everything up and move to New Orleans. So, I mean, it just gets busier and busier and busier. But, you know, it's good busy. So, you know, we're blessed.
What's the one thing that you're looking forward to about being a part of this team?
Just the being able to, you know, take part in this city, you know, just driving around. I had to do my physicals and go to a couple hospitals and things like that. And you can see, like, wherever you go, it's like this is a football town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New Orleans is heavy in this community. And I feel like it's, you know, when I step foot into that dome, like, I feel like you're going to be able to feel that energy from the city. So I'm excited to, you know, be a part of that.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We look forward to OTAs and camp getting started, and then of course the season. And I will definitely check back in with you after the first game in the dome to see how that experience was for you, because it's something different. But thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
LSU held their annual Pro Day Wednesday at their indoor practice facility. All 32 teams were represented. Saints defensive coaches ran through the position drills with the defensive backs there. Linebacker coach Michael Hodges and offensive line coach Doug Marone both spoke to the media. You can find those interviews on our website at neworleanssaints.com or on our YouTube page. Jordy Culotta, who closely covers LSU, joins me now to break down what he saw. Jordy, thank you so much for joining me on the New Orleans Saints podcast. I appreciate it. I know you are inundated in LSU football. Yesterday was an exciting day with it being Pro Day. How are you doing today? Have you recovered from just all the excitement yesterday?
Great. You know, it's one of the cool things on campus. It really is. I mean, there's a lot of buildup to it, and there's not a lot of explosion. There's a lot of, like, people are like, man, it's going to be great. We all just got to get there and take it weight and height and chicken. Size of hands, you know, everything that goes with wingspan and all that stuff. So, you know, I mean, it, Bill Belichick to the building yesterday. All 32 teams represented, including the New Orleans Saints. But, you know, it's always a fun day on campus, and you see some guys that have real opportunities. You know, I mean, some guys I thought took advantage of yesterday. There was also some prospects that really, you know, wish they could probably have yesterday back.
Yeah, I was impressed in talking with defensive end B.J. Ojulari. I mean, he's been hurt. He's been battling what he said was a hamstring that he tweaked, but he still wanted to get out there, still wanted to show the scouts what he could do, even a little bit hampered. What did you think about him and the way that he performed yesterday?
B.J., he's a model player and prospect, man. I mean, he's a guy that's played 3 years here in Baton Rouge and played at an All-American level his freshman season and an All-SEC guy and wore number 8. Was the captain of his junior squad, you know, really leaves a mark on LSU, both from on the field and really kind of representing the program away from the building. And I thought yesterday he performed well. He only did the broad jump and the vertical leap. He put another inch onto his vertical jump. He jumped 33 and a half at the combine. You know, he jumped an inch and a half, greater yesterday. He's explosive. He's a guy that, you know, can really set the edge. He's a fantastic pass rusher. He's got a brother, Ojulari, who plays in the NFL. He plays for the New York Giants, so he's got it in his bloodline. I think that Ojulari is somebody that makes sense for a lot of people in the mid to back end of the first round. And of course, Aaron, that's where New Orleans sits with a defensive end need, in my opinion. You know, after what happened this offseason with Marcus Davenport, you know, that there could be some real interest on B.J. at that first round selection. So, you know, I think that is something to watch, definitely, with the Saints and where B.J. comes off the board.
If you talk to Cam Jordan, then he's absolutely going to want to draft another defensive lineman because that's all he wants on the team. Moving on from B.J., seems like he's going to be the first one drafted from LSU. But I think a player that really stood out and did really well in his performance, someone that was not invited to the combine, was cornerback Jerick Bernard Converse. His ability in some of the athletic assessments, his vert, how quick he was that surprising to you?
It was surprising that he left off the combine combine roster after seeing those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, seeing him jump 40 inches, you know, 42 inches, seeing him run 4.4, to see the way that he was able to explode yesterday, I mean, it shows you there's really not an exact science to filling out that combine, roster sheet. I mean, you know, he seems like somebody that would be a shoe-in for that. He played a lot of football at Oklahoma State, came into LSU and really played well, on a defense that needed some senior and veteran help at the defensive back spot. Man, Aaron, he had a fantastic, he had a big interception against Alabama in the opening drive for Alabama. You know, he really did leave a mark on LSU in one season, so it was surprising to see him, you know, not included, on the combine and in the combine, but somebody who made a ton of money yesterday by really showing out and taking advantage of the opportunity in front of all the NFL scouts. He pretty much guaranteed himself a spot on the roster coming up here in the springtime with an opportunity to fall. I thought he made as much money as anybody out there yesterday.
Yeah, no, he was pretty impressive and enjoyed talking to him afterwards. He just said he's put in so much work to get to this point. Asked him what he was going to do, you know, going forward, and he was just like, oh, I'm just going to go grab lunch with my parents. So he just very nonchalant about it. Had no idea, I don't think, just how well he'd really done. Wide receiver Kayshon Booty is somebody that a lot of people have been asking questions about. What's your take on his situation?
Man, I hated him at the combine, you know, clocking a 4.5, jumping 29 inches. Just not what you think when you think explosive wide receivers and a guy who really at times, Aaron, I thought, you know, for the first 7 games of his sophomore season, it could be argued that he was the best player in college football.
Mm-hmm.
He was scoring 1 out of 8 times that he caught the ball. I mean, it was stupid video game type numbers. So to see, you know, not only him struggle the way he did in his junior season to really, you know, struggle to make plays, but to see him struggle in that testing format, which I thought he would really do well in, you know, it was disappointing. You know, I felt bad for Kayshon because I know that, you know, this part of his life means so much. He's been gearing toward this, and to not have the performance that he was expecting, I know is something that really let him down. But, you know, he's going to get an opportunity. We were talking about it this morning. I think you can spin this into a positive light. He he's got a really good chance to get on with a good team. He's got a good chance to get on with a good quarterback. He's got a good opportunity to get in with a good franchise, and that could be the saving grace. I know that Bill Belichick was watching Keyshawn Booty intently yesterday. He was watching every drill. He was seeing the way that he moved. Somewhere a situation like that, you know, Kansas City with stability, Cincinnati with stability, San Francisco, Buffalo, teams that have faithful organizations and quarterbacks that, you know, may give time for a guy like Keyshawn to really kind of find his way, get back into shape, and find that, you know, find that groove that he was playing in. Because like you said, I mean, you know, at the end of his freshman season and through the first game of his sophomore year, you know, through the first seven games of his sophomore season, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better wide receiver. Hell, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better player in college football than Kay was during that time. And, you know, to just see where it is now is, you know, it's not where it's supposed to be. You know that. I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
People that have watched him play in high school, he's too special of a player. I mean, Aaron, for the wide receivers that LSU was pumping out of here over 5 years, they went from, you know, Terrace Marshall to Justin Jefferson to Ja'Marr Chase. They really didn't miss a beat with Keyshawn. I mean, his freshman and sophomore season, the production level of that spot really stayed, you know, as good as it could with the quarterback play. I mean, granted, it wasn't Joe Burrow back there, but the wide receiver position was still making plays and still changing the scoreboard, and a lot of that had to do with Keyshawn. And I think he'll find his groove. You know, I think he'll find his spot. He's too good of a player. He's too talented of a kid. But it was discouraging. I could not believe yesterday that he didn't take that chance to run again or to jump again, because, you know, I think that's what everybody was saying. I will say this. I thought on the field, going through some of those drills, he really did move well.
And yeah.
You did still see the fluid movement that people have come to really kind of recognize with him. So, you know, I mean, that may be some of the light that people needed to see that says, hey, look, we're not as scared to take a chance on him. And, you know, he becomes a steal, at the end of the third round, fourth round, in those areas. I mean, you know, the film doesn't lie. You know, I mean, he's made too many plays at the SEC level that I think you can't not look at.
Sure. What other players do you think have a good opportunity, or anybody else that stood out yesterday?
Yeah, I think Jaquelin Roy is a guy that is really going to have a chance at the next level to make a lot of money. I think, you know, at times he was projected to be a pick here during his junior season. There were some outlets that had him, you know, as high as 5 through 7 going into the season. So, you know, he's got a big body. He's a big, strong kid. He's athletic. You know, he's a big defensive tackle. I think somebody like him. And then Jay Ward. You know, when I saw Bill Belichick there yesterday, Aaron, I got to be honest, the first person I thought of was Jay Ward. You know, Jay Ward to me kind of feels like a Patriot. He feels like a, you know, one of those rugged NFL guys that plays for, you know, 7 to 10 years that just kind of finds himself in big games and making big plays. He's always been that guy. I mean, on that 2019 LSU team, you know, on that LSU squad that won the national championship and pumped out all the pros and has the reputation to maybe be the greatest college football team of all time, Jay Ward was a true freshman playing on that team. I mean, like, he made big tackles and big games and was on the field. So he's a big-time player. I think that, you know, Jay Ward's probably the guy that, you know, we may look up in this draft class of LSU, and he may be the one that, you know, we're talking about in 4 or 5 years.
Sure. Over the years, I think it's been 11 total LSU players that the Saints have drafted. Do you have a favorite?
Devery Henderson will always be my favorite. I love Dev.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the silent assassin. He's that guy that very inconspicuous. You know, you rarely hear him, but then you turn on the film and it's just, wow, he's running by everybody. He catches everything. He was, you know, he's obviously so fun to watch in college. He won a national championship with LSU. He won a Super Bowl with the Saints. He's from South Louisiana. I mean, it's a great story for a great dude. He's around my age, so, you know, I'm kind of biased, but I'll always love Dev and the selection there. And Will Clapp was a guy that did some internship for us on our show, and we developed a really cool relationship with and have kept in touch with him, and hated to see his time come to an end in New Orleans. I know how much that meant to him and his family, and, you know, being from the city and representing the Saints and being there during such a crucial time during the end of the Breeze and Peyton days, and having a chance to play deep into the playoffs was always something cool that he talked about. Will Clapp's obviously on that list too. So there've been a lot of good ones, but you know, Devery and Will stand out for sure.
Sure. I mean, you're going to go running back. Dalton Hilliard was a great pick as well. The owners' meeting, they had them this earlier this week in Phoenix. Obviously, Mickey Loomis, head coach Dennis Allen spoke. They said they've been really happy with the moves that they've made in the offseason, who they've acquired free agent-wise. They think that they've really addressed all their needs. They maybe have some wants, and they're going to start looking towards the draft for that. What other positions or areas you think that the Saints should address?
Well, let me say, I think they've done another great job of staying competitive. We talk about it all the time on the show. You know, if you were a fan before the Breeze and Peyton era, you got no idea. Really, Mickey Loomis era too. You got no idea of just how intense the struggles were. And for the Saints front office to, year in, year out, always make the moves to try and make the franchise competitive, you have to respect. Whether you agree or you disagree with the moves, they at least spend the money and make themselves competitive. And, you know, that I think you, from a fan base standpoint, from a ticket buying standpoint, you have to be very grateful for that. You know, that they want to have a chance every year, and going out and signing Derek Carr and going out and signing Jamal Williams, I thought were two great examples of that. You know, touching those areas of need, like you touched on, like you talked about with the defensive line, I thought was crucial. But you know, I still think that they could probably pick up a wide receiver. I still think that they're probably looking for maybe even another defensive end, like we talked about earlier on in the interview. I think that's somewhere that they could. They could use some help immediately. The defensive backfield at safety, you know, I mean, how much we've talked about that position. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens with the Kamara situation if they maybe, you know, do something with running back late in the draft or in free agency. But, you know, like I said, I thought Jamal Williams in signing him was as good of a move as they've made in the offseason, not only for the player that they get on the field and the combination of Kamara and Williams together in the backfield, which I think is a great 1-2 punch. But his leadership, you know, I mean, his ability to really, bring the locker room together, to represent the organization and the community. I mean, you saw it in that press conference, Aaron. Mm-hmm. He's infectious, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be tough to really ignore. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, does it by example. And I think the Saints, you know, the locker room will see as much advantage as the team will on the field.
I know last season the NFC South was up for grabs. You're talking about it the whole year, and there are a lot of expectations where the season started. Where do you think the Saints sit going into this upcoming season?
Well, look, I judge football. I start with my competitive races in football off quarterbacks. And Aaron, I look around the NFC, and I'm looking at Derek Carr and Jalen Hurts, and I'm looking for anybody else, really. I mean, I'm wondering who is going to be that guy. That's why I believe that Tom Brady is, you know, it's not over. It wouldn't surprise me if he's in San Francisco next year back in the NFC, because with Aaron Rodgers signing and getting out of Green Bay, I mean, all of the quarterback power is in the AFC.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you talk about Mahomes and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, you know, Joe Burrow and, you know, I mean, all of them. I mean, they just, all of them are on that side of the ball. So when you look at Derek Carr and you look at the Saints and some of the moves that they've made in the offseason, I think they're a true contender in the NFC. I think that's because they have one of the top quarterbacks on that side of the ball, on that side of the league. And, you know, they've obviously made themselves competitive with the way that they've spent money. So, you know, when I look at the NFC, I don't see anybody that scares you from a quarterbacking standpoint. So, you know, I mean, if you can get it right offensively and start to, you know, really get some consistent play on that side of the ball like they haven't had since, you know, really Breeze and now Peyton has left, I think that they could, you know, they could be true competitors on that side. I mean, I'm talking about make a run at, championship type games. I mean, NFC and possible Super Bowl, just because of what's in the way. It just doesn't seem like that there's a lot in the way. I mean, I'm sure somebody will step up. I mean, there's probably going to be a Brock Purdy, you know, like a story next year in the NFL of a guy who steps up and just becomes somewhere out of the darkness. But, I mean, as we sit here in March and we look forward to the NFL year, the NFC side of football is a quarterback graveyard.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. There's been so much movement this offseason, and I'm definitely looking forward to what's coming up this year. It's going to get started here pretty soon, once about a month away from the draft, and then we'll have players in here, you know, going through workouts, so we're not far off.
No, it's right here, man, and that's what B.J. Ogilary actually came on the show this morning, and we were just talking about how fast it was to get here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, him just playing 3 years, and now he's done. He's done with the pre-draft process. I mean, the next thing on the schedule for him as a football player is the NFL draft, and just how fast that entire process goes. And, you know, you and I talking about football season being back in a couple of weeks feels like that'll happen tomorrow. So, you know, we blink and we'll be back in it, which
yeah.
is awesome.
Yes, definitely. I know we're looking forward to it. Thank you so much for the time, the insight. Great, as always.
Thank you, Aaron. Anytime. Good to catch up with you.
You too. I appreciate Jordy joining me. And with quarterback Derek Carr now in town, he's taken over the number 4. And Saints fans, you can win a signed Carr and Blake Gillikin jersey in honor of the swap. Just head to NewOrleansSaints.com and click on Fan Zone, then Contest, to enter. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Saints podcast, presented by SeatGeek. Join us 3 times per week on NewOrleansSaints.com, the Saints mobile app, or you can download the podcast on iTunes. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Saints podcast, presented by SeatGeek.